Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where you'll face. Use it.
And I fall.
Praise God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God whose name is above all names. Amen. Just want to welcome the listeners from around the world. We're broadcasting live. This is Dr. Ventura and the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. We're bringing you the best of the faith. We're bringing you the best of scriptures. We're coming live at you with a King James Bible. We don't use any other version. We know what the Word says. Amen. I have to meet live with me tonight is Brother Lewis, and I also have Brother Fred. And tonight's sermon, we're going to have a sermon this evening as advertised. Amen. We serve a mighty God. We're going to preach tonight, and the title of the sermon is, Where is Jesus? And it's a good question. It's a good question. And before we get to that sermon, we're going to bring Brother Fred on, and I thought we'd do a special this evening. And so, Brother Fred, you with us this evening, brother?
Yes, good evening, brother. Good to be there. Yes, God bless you, and that may everyone that hears be blessed tonight. Yes,
amen.
I have a song. I do have a song. It's Mary, Did You Know? Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on.
Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the land. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. The great I Am, the great I Am.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The great I Am. Thank you, Brother Fred. That's Brother Fred Doherty coming to you live. We're broadcasting from Imperial Beach, California. I know the rest of the world's kind of cold, and we're kind of cold in the southeast, and we're working on heating you up here. We're going to warm you up, and the Holy Spirit fire come down and heat us up tonight. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Lewis, if you would please give us a scripture reading to go along with the sermon.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Book of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto him, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for that reading.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Father, we just bow down before you and we ask you, Almighty God, that tonight that you would bless us, Lord, that you would pour your spirit out upon us and upon the listeners, Lord. Lord, we ask you that you would touch our hearts and our minds and our spirits, Lord. And Lord God, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And that, Lord, you would set me aside, Lord, and let not my flesh get in this sermon, Lord. And let the people hear, Lord, your word. Allow me to give the sense and let them have the understanding of your word. And I pray this, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to, first of all, set the setting here. Verse 41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, that's Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And Deuteronomy 16:16 says that three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which shall he shall choose in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks. And the feast of weeks is Pentecost, of course. And in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. And so it's Passover. It's the month of Abib. It's the 14th day of the month. And the Jews had all had to appear in Jerusalem three times a year. And this tells you something about Jesus' parents. This tells you something about Joseph and Mary. And they abided by the law of God. They were righteous people. They abided by the law. Scripture says they followed the custom of the feast. But I want you to know that at this time, this feast that we say the feast, the seven feasts, there's seven feasts, and here they are at the feast. And during this feast time, people would go to Jerusalem. And as they went to Jerusalem for the Passover, they would stay for the full 50 days to Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, because it was a lot of traveling to do. People didn't have cars and planes and buses, and so they traveled. And so what we find is that John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 13, John tells us that, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so one of the problems that we notice here, first of all, about these Passovers, is that by the time that Jesus Christ was a child and he got to the Passovers, it was now called the Jews' Passover. Deuteronomy 16:16 said it was the Lord's Passover. But the people had become so religious that they had gotten the Lord out of the thing. And now it was the Jews' Passover. Leviticus 23:5 says, the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. It's supposed to be the Lord's Passover. But they're having the Jews' Passover. And so we look into the story here and we see that now his parents went to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is packed with people. There are thousands and thousands of people, every Jew had to appear in Jerusalem at the time. And this even during the time of Solomon, the glory of the temple, and the people would come and they'd see this gorgeous, beautiful temple. Do you know that the windows in the temple would start out at a small percentage, maybe 4 or 5 inches, I'm not even sure of the exact measurement, but it's probably expanded out the windows. They're not a window like you have in your house. It went through the wall, but the more it came through the wall to the outside, the wider it got. And Solomon's temple was inlaid with gold, all gold. So the original temple that Solomon built was inlaid with gold. And when they lit that seven candles of the candlestick that was in there beat out of one piece of gold, the lights would shine out of the temple with a gold reflection at night. It was a glorious thing. And so when the people came to Jerusalem during Jesus' time, there was a temple there. It was not as glorious as Solomon's, but thousands and thousands of people were there. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that over 256,000 sacrifices took place during this time. Over 256,000. It was a, people would come and the rich would bring the bullocks and the poor would bring the less, you know, the middle class would have a lamb and the poor would bring a dove, but there was always a sacrifice and the sacrifices were received. But this is the Passover and they're going to kill the Passover lamb. And you know Jesus Christ was the Passover. I know you're familiar with the Passover. And so we learn that Jesus' parents went there. And there was this group of people, and money were there. And you remember twice in the Gospels, Jesus Christ overturns the temple money changers' tables, and he goes in there and he runs them out of the temple because what was going on in the temple was the money changers were exchanging money. It was a business. And if you didn't bring a lamb with you for a certain price, you could buy one. And if you had coins from Samaria or another place or another Roman coin, you could change it into a shekel. And this was a big business. This is what's going on in Jerusalem. But as the story goes on and we read, we find out in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, the 50 days, most likely, it doesn't say, the scriptures don't tell us if they stayed till the Feast of Pentecost, but that was a usual procedure. It was just too far to travel. But at verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Amen. You know, I get excited over the scriptures. I get excited over the Word of God. And so, you know, excuse my excitement, but when the Lord speaks, great things happen. And this is the Word of God. This is written for all mankind. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind. And so here's Joseph and Mary, and they're going along, and I would imagine there's camels and laden with, you know, the people's goods and their tents, and there's donkeys, and there's and people carrying carts and carrying their clothes, and there's cousins, and there's aunts, and there's uncles, and there's friends, and there's families, because it says that we're acquaintances with them. And so these caravans are leaving, and they are traveling together. And they get about, it says that they're down the road here somewhere, and they stop, and they say, hey, where's Jesus? What happened to Jesus? Where's Jesus? Joseph, have you seen Jesus? Mary, have you seen Jesus? And they said, no, where's Jesus? But verse 44 says, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They went a whole day. They did not know where Jesus was. And they sought him among their kinsfolks and their acquaintances. And I could see Mary running up and down and Joseph in a faster pace. And they're asking everybody, has anybody seen Jesus? Is Jesus with you? Hey, have you got Jesus with you? How about you? Is Jesus there? Has anybody seen Jesus? And I'm sure some of their friends helped them search and some of their family were looking around. Where is Jesus? And Jesus is nowhere to be found. And yet they've gone a whole day's journey. And the Bible tells us when we get back and we look down into verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem to seek him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him sitting in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Amen. I'm telling you, there's joy in the Lord, but here, they're looking for him. And down there in the verse, it says in verse 48, at the end of the verse, it says, you know, when they finally find Jesus, they said they saw him sorrowing. They had been on the road, and they had been going, and they'd been with their friends, and they with their family, and they had been having joy in their heart, joy, blessing joy in their heart, from being at the temple and having the sacrifices and seeing the priest and the high priest dressed in his garb and the wonderful sacrifice, the brazen altar and the sacrifices and the labor and going into the temple and every day the evening sacrifice and the people praying. And, you know, Psalm 116:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. There's joy in the Lord. And they had joy in their hearts when they left, and they went along, and they were probably talking to their friends about the great things and the great blessings that they had received and what God had done with them and how they blessed them with a son that's so wonderful and how wonderful it was to see all these magnificent things. Amen. It was a wonderful time. But they were on the road, and they were walking, and they had got along. And now it's a time of sorrow. All those things grieved them, and they lost their son. Jesus is missing. Have you seen Jesus? Where is Jesus? Jesus is missing. And so as any mother and father would be concerned, and their friends and their family, it doesn't say if anybody else went back. It just tells us that Mary and Joseph turned around, and they went back to find Jesus. And I know they were worried. Was he kidnapped? Did something happen to him? Did he try to follow us? Is he lost? Is he hungry? Where's our Jesus? Where is Jesus? And so they get back to Jerusalem, and the scriptures say that in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. It took 3 days. They had gone a day's journey, that means, and they had come back a day's journey, and they spent another day looking for Jesus. 3 days. They were without their Jesus, and they were looking for him. And do you know what? They found Jesus. They found Jesus, the Bible, thank God. The Bible says in verse 47, or verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Amen. So there's little Jesus, and he's standing there. He's sitting in the temple, and he's asking them questions. And verse 47 says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And you know, when the word of God is spoken, people get astounded. They said in the Gospels, we have seen strange things. Where Jesus Christ is, where the word of God is spoken, action happens. We have action. Something's going to happen. Something good's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Jesus, the word of God's being spoken. Amen. The scriptures tell us that over in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, 46, when the Pharisees sent out the officers to get Jesus after he was 30-something years old, he was now an adult when they sent him, he was still talking the same way. He maintained the same walk. He maintained the same mission for God. He maintained his life and his testimony. And the scriptures say, they asked the officers, well, where is he? Why didn't you bring him? And here's what they answered to him. They said, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this. And listen, they were sent out to arrest him. They were under authority. They had the warrant. They could arrest Jesus. And they got to Jesus Christ, and they stood there, and they heard what he was saying. They heard the word of God, and they were astounded, just like these doctors that are sitting in the temple. And the word of God ought to astound you. The word of God ought to bring joy to your heart. The word of God ought to bring respect to your heart for God and the things of God. And they heard Jesus, and they were astounded, those doctors. They had studied the law of Moses. They had studied the minor prophets. They had studied the major prophets. They had studied Daniel. They knew Daniel's 70th week. They understood the scriptures from what they knew. And Jesus was expounding the truth of the scriptures, which they didn't understand. And they were shocked at his understanding. And so Jesus Christ, when he speaks, things happen. People are astounded. Never man spake like this man. Amen. And Jesus Christ was sitting in the middle, it says. And when they saw him, Joseph and Mary saw Jesus, they were amazed. They were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, my father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And I know when They saw Jesus. Somebody said to them, he's in the temple. They were walking around Jerusalem on the third day, and on the fourth day, because it says the scriptures after 3 days. Remember, they went a day. They came back a day, and they spent the day searching for him. And on the fourth day, they found Jesus Christ. Do you know when there is prophecy? There was prophecy there. Jesus Christ went to the tomb, and Jesus Christ was in the tomb 3 days, and on the fourth day he resurrected, the first day of the week, which was a Sunday. And fear thee not, Mary, the angel said. We know who you're looking for. Amen. And so you see in the Gospels here that future type of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here for 3 days, verse 49 says, and here's what Jesus answered. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old, Jesus Christ knew his Father's business. Some of you don't even know God's business. You don't know your Father's business. You know why? Because you have the same problem that Joseph and Mary and everybody else had. You were looking at the blessings of God. You forgot about Jesus Christ. You're basking in the blessings of God. You're worshiping the blessings of God. God is blessing you with great things, and you're basking in those. You took your eyes off Jesus Christ, and you're down the road. You're with your promise keepers. You're with your other worshipers. You're going to Sunday church. You're going to specials. You're going to leadership conferences. But you forgot Jesus Christ. He wasn't there. You left him behind. And that's what happened to Joseph and Mary. They were all wonderful about the blessings they received while they were in Jerusalem. They had wonderful blessings and all the good things that God did. And that's what they were looking at. They weren't looking at Jesus. And that's what happened in the church today. They got caught with the NIV. They're looking at the NLTs. They want to read the New Living Bible. They want to read the Message. They left the King James Bible down. They left Jesus behind. They thought they got religious, and they went down the road, and they go about their business, and that's what's going on in the churches in the country today. People are going down the road, and they forgot Jesus. You can't do anything without Jesus. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And you know what happens? I hear people say all the time, I said, why weren't you in church, brother? We missed you. Oh, I worked so hard today, I was just too tired. Hey, listen, don't give me that stuff. Jesus doesn't buy that stuff. Who got you that job? Jesus Christ got you that job. Jesus Christ got you that job. What do you mean you're too busy? How about if Jesus takes your job from you? Then I'll bet you'll have plenty of time. Then you'll want to go find Jesus when you're sitting there wondering if you got food stamps for the end of the month because you took your eyes off the Lord. And that's the problem. Joseph and Mary and everybody, they went on down the road, but they left Jesus behind. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And they sought him. At least they went back to find him. Amen. They didn't keep on going down the road. And a lot of churches around this country today, they forgot Jesus. They left Jesus behind. They're going on down the road, all the blessings that God's given them, and they say, well, isn't that the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. You're leaving Jesus, you're walking in the blessings, but your eyes are not on Jesus Christ, and he's slipping away from you. You don't know where he is. You need to go back to Jerusalem. You need to go back to find Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, boy or girl, man or woman, you can't leave Jesus behind. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. That's what you need to do. Go back and seek Jesus Christ. Go back to your first love. That's what's wrong with the church in Revelations. They forgot their first love. Their first love is Jesus Christ, not the blessings of Christ. The blessings of Christ come from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. How can you forget Christ? But you've taken your eyes off Christ. You want money. You want materialism. You want God to bless you in all the ways he's been blessing you, and you want to forget who's blessing you. Oh, God bless me today, brother. I got a raise. Hallelujah. Get on down the road. Where can we spend that? And you go out and buy a new car. Well, you forgot it was Jesus Christ that gave you the first blessing, and you got your eyes on the wrong thing. And you're down the road somewhere, and some of these churches are down the road somewhere. You left behind the Bible. You left behind the Word of God. You left that King James Bible down. You decided you're going to follow something that's supposedly easier to read, something I could understand better. I got news for you. You better check the words that they submit, that they substituted in your NIVs and your New King Living Bibles and your New World Translations. Jehovah Witness. Imagine that. What's Jehovah? What's going on here? You're leaving Jesus behind. You can't get away from the Word of God and expect that power in your church and in your life. You can't have joy in your heart. You better go back and sorrow and go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I thank you for the blessings. I love you. You gave them to me. I didn't deserve them. Mercy. That's God to have mercy on you. Mercy is you're not getting what you deserve. Grace is you're getting what you don't deserve. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't understand. You got those preachers preaching with those Bibles, and you know they're wrong, but it's okay because sometimes they preach the right thing. No, it's not okay. Is a little poison okay in a cup to drink? Well, why would you drink from it? You're drinking from that cup. You're submitting to that pastor. You're allowing him to preach to you a lie. They've taken the word of Jesus Christ out of those Bibles. They've taken the blood out of the Bible. They've reduced Jesus from son to a servant. You're too ashamed that somebody's going to ridicule you for taking a stand for God. If you're a pastor and you're out there listening to me, you know it's true. And you need to put that Bible down and get yourself back to the King James Version Bible where you started. Who educated you out of that Bible? Newer and older manuscripts. You don't even know what you're talking about. Half of you can't understand Greek or Hebrew, and you don't need to. All you need is a King James Bible. The Bible interprets itself. That's why God gave it to us in English. You didn't have to go back and study Greek and Hebrew. You got an English Bible in fourth grade level. And if that's too hard for you to read, then go back to third grade and start over. Quit playing with God. God's angry about this stuff. Hey, man, you get mad at me all you want. That pastor, he does a lot of hollering. Well, yeah, that pastor's sure excited by the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you that much. You sit back and know the truth and watch your brothers be lied to and tricked and fooled. You go to Acts 8:37 in that NIV or NLT, you'll find out. Listen, the first word in those new Bibles has changed. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, not the heavens. There was one heaven and one earth in the beginning. Who changed my Bible? Who do you think changed your Bible? Took out the blood. Verse 46 says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found them in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him in sorrow, but you know how it is. Your child's missing, and all of a sudden there's joy in your heart that you found them, yet you're angry that you lost them, and you're concerned at the same time. And there's Mary and Joseph, and they said to him, you know, thy father and I have been sorrowing for you, son. And he said, the Lord said, how is it that he sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And the scriptures say they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't understand what he was saying. And he went down with them. Verse 51 says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ submitted. He was in subjection to the authority that God had put him under, Joseph and Mary. And now you look here and you read in Ephesians 5:21, the Apostle Paul said, you as a Christian are to be submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's the problem. You won't submit to the authority of the pastor. You won't submit to the authority of the deacon. You won't even submit to the authority, first of all, of God. That's the problem. And I'm telling you young men out there and you young women, and you don't have to be young to get the message, but all it takes is one mistake in your life, one mistake outside the will of God, and God will put you, if you won't submit to the authority of God and you think you continue to get away with what you're getting away with, God will put you under an authority you will submit to, and you will submit. When those handcuffs go on your hands, you will submit to that. There's no running out. Then you'll want to know God. I've seen it over and over. I spent 26 years in prison. I know. I've seen men come to jail and get on their knees. I've seen them spend their time getting back right with God and praying. God, I got out from under your authority and I wouldn't submit to it. And God put them under authority they would submit to, and you will submit to that authority. Amen. Jesus Christ, he's the Lord. And I'm asking you tonight, where is Jesus? You better look around you. Where is Jesus? Is he with you? Or have you left Jesus behind? Are you enjoying the blessings of God and for God who gave them to you? It's time to turn back to your Jerusalem. It's time to go back and find Jesus. Get back right with Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Fred?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a song for us?
Praise the Lord. Good preacher, brother. Battle of God on the mountain.
Amen, brother.
We're living on that mountain. He's got a piece of mind like it is never known. But then things change. Get down in that mountain. Don't do the same thing. Boy,
thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I want the listeners to know that we're coming to you live and that we've had some technical difficulties along the way. And if any of this broadcast didn't come clear to you, you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com, and I'll make a CD and personally mail it to you. The number at the station is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. If you'd like to call in, press 1, and I'd be more than happy to speak with you. Brother DL, are you there with us? I know that you're running the switchboard tonight and the panel and the radio operating, and I appreciate it, and I thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'd like to, at this point of the radio program, I would like to pray us out, and then we'll take a call, have a discussion, and we'll see what's going on. Our Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Lord, forgive us for leaving Jesus behind, Father. Forgive us for leaving him and not even realizing that we had left Jesus behind. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you've given us. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, Lord. We thank you for your gratefulness. We thank you for this word, Lord, We thank you for the word that we have in our Bible. We praise you, God. We thank you for your blessings, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Wow. We serve a mighty God. Where is Jesus? And that's a great message. It's a great message, and amen. You know, sometimes the Lord gives me a message to preach, and it's funny. You know, sometimes the Lord has given part of it on a Monday and part on a Tuesday and sometimes on a Thursday, but the Lord just put it on my heart as I read about Jesus, and it's true. We've all left Jesus at some point. We need to go back and find Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Brother Lewis?
Yes.
Brother Lewis, you still with us?
Oh, I'm definitely here. I've been listening. You know, as I say, as it was tradition of the people, if a Hebrew person did not go up to the temple, then they were disfellowshipped, you know, from the Hebrew faith, and they were no longer considered Jewish because they were considered apostate. And it's very much, you know, today I think if a person refuses to assemble together, as Paul says, not forsaking the assembly together, then a person cannot really consider themselves a Christian because we're supposed to be continually in fellowship with the brethren. There's some to say, well, you know, as long as I go there once in a while, I feel like it, you know, I'm a believer. No, how can you be a believer if you're not faithful to God? So that, just like in the old times, you know, it's just as important today to be in the fellowship of the faithful.
You know, brother, you find this in your Christian walk, that there are saved men who are truly, they're in Christ. They're just not disciples of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Christ, but they're not following Christ. They're in Christ, you know, the parable of the sower. And they've got caught up in the cares of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, there's a lot going on in the world. We're in the end times. The rapture is imminent. And I'm not a date setter, but it's imminent. And people today and Christians today need a wake-up call. God's calling people to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's very, very hard, you know, even if you're fellowshipping with the brethren and doing Bible studies and all that, to stay on the straight and narrow, because there's so much out there that lures us away, and we rationalize, say, well, you know, if I go an inch off, you know, that's okay. I'm still pretty close, you know. And the next week, well, if I miss that Sunday school or whatever, if I don't, you know, I have to go fishing or something, pretty soon, you know, as my head Sunday school teacher said years ago to the third grade boys, he says, oh, you stayed home instead of coming to church last Sunday because you had a new bicycle? Was that bicycle your God now? And they just grim in their seats and say, oh, no, of course not, Brother Brown. You know, but he said, well, how come you weren't here then? You know, and they got to start them young. Understand that.
I agree, brother. I agree. I want to also mention that if you're in the San Diego area or plan on being in the San Diego area, coming up in a few days, starting, I believe, Sunday or Monday, I don't have the calendar with me of it, but at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Lemon Grove on Hammershaw Road, they're having a leadership conference, and some of the greatest preachers of our time are come to this leadership conference. They come from all over the world, and I know some that are coming clear across the country in the United States, and they come to hear and to be ministered to as church leaders. It's a leadership conference. Nobody's trying to teach you to lead, but they're bringing men there who will preach on leadership. And it's to minister not only to the leaders of the church, but to those who are members of the church and those Christians who have a desire for leadership. And there's some good stuff that's going to be there. There's great preaching there. Pastor Fisher is the pastor. You can go online and look up Lighthouse Baptist Church, Lemon Grove, on Hammershaw Road. And that's in the San Diego area. And I'll be honest with you. I attend the church, and I drive out there. It's probably a good 20-minute or so drive for me, maybe a little more on the highway. But I would rather drive 50 miles. Hey, I drive 200 miles a day on a Sunday to hear the truth rather than drive 10 miles and be fooled. And so if you want to attend that, it's open to anybody who would like to go. It's a leadership conference, Lighthouse Baptist Church, Lemon Grove on Hamishaw Road. And I believe you can get there. It begins on February 1st, and you won't be disappointed that you were there. You're going to hear some great preaching, great preaching. I'd like to also thank this evening Nathan on the spot, John Hill. And I want to thank DL, who's behind the scenes tonight, Brother Brown. He's worked hard at this, and he's very astute in the knowledge of the Bible, can call the station, you can blog the station, or you can call the chat line if you don't want to talk or email, and you can get a hold of one of us. And sometimes people like to listen, and they're taking notes, or, you know, they're thinking about the sermon, and they'd rather not. They're a little shy of being on the air. And we encourage you not to be shy. We encourage you to call in and to speak with us. You can go to NathanOnTheSpot@Outlook.com, and you can reach Nathan, Brother Hill. He'd love to hear from you. Brother Lewis, what's your email address?
LewisHB@Yahoo.com. That's LewisHB, as in Harry Brackett, @Yahoo.com.
Amen. We want to also thank Interpraisement Media, who's had us as given us this guest spot on Thursday nights, and has left it open to Sound Doctrine. And you know, many broadcasting programs and producers behind the scenes, they try to hedge what somebody's going to say. And Brother Brown and Nathan Hill and the brethren down in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and Brother Andy up in Chester, North Carolina, you know, there's nobody complaining to me that I have to watch what I say. They're allowing me to preach the gospel. You know, Jesus told it as it was. He named sin as sin. He wasn't afraid to tell the people. He wasn't afraid of how they'd react to the truth. He told the truth. And you know that Jesus Christ spoke on one subject more than any other subject in all the time he was on this earth. In the 3.5 years of his public ministry, he spoke about hell. Hell. He didn't speak more about the love of God. He didn't speak more about how you should conduct yourself. He spoke, the most subject that he spoke on was hell. And if Jesus Christ spent 3.5 years and the majority of his speech warn people about a place called hell, we ought to listen to that. If you're an unsaved man out there and you're listening tonight, you're a guest of somebody's and you're at their home, or you're driving in your car, or you're on the internet, or you phoned in, I want you to know that the Lord loves you very, very much. Jesus Christ died for you and paid the price so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Nobody has to go to hell. You will not go to hell for being a murderer. You will not go to hell for being a thief. You will not go to hell for being a robber. You will not go to hell for anything you've done in your life except refusing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And people say to me, well, brother, you know, that's pretty narrow-minded. You think yours is the only way? And I say, no, brother. Jesus Christ made some truth claims, and one of the truth claims was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say that Muhammad was the way. He did not say that Buddha was the way. He did not say that Hare Krishna was the way. He said, I am the way. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to think about it. Eternity is a long time for a man to spend separated from God. See, God gave man free will. God's not going to make you love him. God's not going to force you to love him. He's already shown his love to you because he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. He paid the price for your sins already. It's like a pardon. A prisoner does not have to take a pardon. He can refuse a pardon. But if you accept the pardon, Jesus Christ is offering you a pardon for your sins. And he's offering you eternal life in the presence and the joy of God and his holy angels, in the fellowship of the body of Christ, the saints, of all time. Jesus Christ is offering you that. Or you can reject his offer, and you can choose to be separated from God. He's not going to make you love him. What kind of God would force you to love him? He's given you a choice. And the choice is, accept my son and what he's done on the cross for you, who's paid for your sins, or go to hell. Because hell's the only other place left. Hell was originally created for the devil and his angels. Those that were rebelling, the demons. Wasn't created for man, but when sin entered the garden, man fall in that same category. We're all sinners. And every one of us, when we come to that cross of Jesus Christ, we're not better than any other person. We come to the cross of Jesus Christ and we kneel down and we say, Lord, I was maimed, I was lame, I was blind. I'm a sinner, God, and I've broken your laws. And if you'll pray with me right now, if you're listening and you're not saved, if you'll just pray, God, I know I'm a sinner. If you'll just mean it in your heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I have sinned and I have broken your laws, and I cannot pay the eternal price for this sin. And so, God, I'm looking to Jesus Christ, your son. I believe that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, I believe that he was buried and resurrected on the third day and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe it, Father God. And if you would just pray that and ask God to forgive you for your sins, and if you would ask the Lord to be your Savior, Jesus Christ will come into your life. Jesus Christ promised to send you the Holy Spirit to comfort you and to guide you. And if you prayed that prayer, and if you receive Jesus Christ tonight, I would urge you, call the radio station. Call the radio program. Call it. The number is 347-945-5416. Call me direct at my home phone. 203, this is my mobile, 203-240-0377. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to help you if you've come to Jesus Christ. If you've come tonight and prayed and received Christ Jesus, I beg of you, you don't have to go to hell. There's a lot of people in worse places than you are in life. People say to me all the time, well, if he's such a great God, why is the world in the chaos it's in? It's in the chaos it's in because God gave man free will, and man has chosen to rebel against God. But God has given man a way to get right. This world is temporal. It's the eternity that matters. Where do we go from here? Is it God's fault that a man chooses to get in a car, drive drunk, and crash into somebody? That's not God's fault. That's man's choice. Man has free will. My brothers, my friends, people listening, Jesus Christ loves you. Imagine if you sent your son, if the people from the next town came over to your house and they said, there's 200,000 of us living here, and they want somebody to pay for this crime. We have to, for this crime, for this sin, and sin's a crime against God, and they have to pay for it. And who are we going to send? And you stepped up and said, listen, I love my neighbor. I love you all, and I'm going to send my son. And you sent your son to that next town, and they killed your son in the most brutal manner. They said that Jesus' visage, his face was unrecognizable. They beat him so bad. It's in the book of Isaiah. And imagine you sent your son down the street to them. And then after you allowed your son to die, the people turned around and they ignored you. They disrespected you. They didn't even say thanks to you. How would you feel? You would be very angry. And I'm telling you, my friends, God is very angry with very many of you who refuse to receive his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent to die for you. You need to come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you, God. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for Brother Lewis. We thank you for Brother Fred. And, Lord, there are people who need prayer out there. I don't have my prayer list, Lord. There are people, there is a young person who has leukemia, and they've asked for prayer. There is Randy, who's going through a hard time in his marriage. There is other people, Lord, in the world that are suffering. We will ask you, God, to bring your glory into their lives so that they can be relieved of their suffering through the joy of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Holy Father. We ask you to pray for Ray, for Mark, and for Terry. And these are people, Lord, that have suffered, and they're ill. And I thank you, Holy Father, for hearing these prayers. I thank you for this broadcast and this opportunity to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you. Thank you, Brother Fred, Sister Kitty. In Jesus' name, amen. Father amen. God, we praise you. DL, you take us out, please. Well, thank you.
So bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, holy, the angel, oh, met me. They carried me.